Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, your weekly discussion of motoring news. This is episode 31 on Tuesday, the 15th of March, 2016. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew.
And it's been, I don't know, I thought last week was going to be much quieter. I really did. But it seems to have just been a bit nuts.
Yes.
Crazy as usual. Yeah. Well, part of it was
just the podcast.
And that's just the podcast. I know. That doesn't take into account the rest of real life that has to go along with it too. But part of that was my fault. I went off on Saturday. I decided to get the first use in of my Rockingham season pass. So I wandered over. It was quite nice here on Saturday afternoon. I don't know about the rest of you guys. I wandered over to the Matsuri Drift. The first day of the meet there, and there were many, many people in skinny trousers and high tops and hoodies with impressive looking beards driving cars sideways.
That was there, though, Alan.
Why, thank you. So loads of people driving cars very, very sideways, many dabs of Oppo, and creating lots and lots of smoke, burning up their tires. But it was good fun to watch for a couple of hours, actually. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So there's a video. There've been a bunch of pictures on Instagram at Motoring Podcast and on YouTube. So it's youtube.com/motoringpodcast. So that there's pictures and videos up of that, which was quite good fun.
Well, that seems a good time to put a link again to the post you put on the end of last year's motoring events season.
Yes, yeah,
and what supporting was really your good local track and all that. So I will put links to that in the show notes, Alan.
Cool, thank you. And it was really, really good as well. I was expecting the usual sort of motley collection of 15-20 cars down the front of the stand, which is what happens. There were hundreds of cars there. There were a lot of people at this. So I think it's interesting. Sorry, this is completely not even what we're meant to be talking about tonight. But I thought it's interesting to see that there's a sort of evolution in certain parts of motorsport there. It's something that's incredibly accessible, actually, drifting. Be it a knackered 3 Series, a knackered manual 3 Series or anything up from that, you can basically do it in. So it's incredibly popular. I knew how popular it was, but I didn't realize how popular it was. That's a good one. Well done, Alan.
just don't do your drift in a Cheddar Gorge.
Yes. And it's much, much better that people are practicing it in the outer paddock at Rockingham, on the set up kind of sub tracks and stuff, actually on the circuit itself, and absolutely not in Cheddar Gorge and absolutely not on the public road. But it was really good. It was great. Nice. Some fun stuff in the car park as well, which is always good. That always interests me. It was only a shame I hadn't taken the Veyer-Cross across so I could be more JDM than them. I had the Yaris with me. So, yep. No, it was good fun.
That's not all that's happened, is it, Alan?
No. Big thank you here at the top of the show to those of you who have left reviews and ratings. It has made a huge, huge difference it makes a huge difference to the visibility of the show. It's like the best form of advertising that you guys can gift us, this side of telling a mate and actually subscribing them via their mobile device or whatever device. But huge thanks to Peter Wallace, who left a review on iTunes. And also thanks, the Sacrifice of the Year award goes to Simon Searle. And mate, just above and beyond, okay?
Yes.
This gentleman was kind enough to install iTunes on his machine just to give it a rating. Now, guys, I have a little Apple universe here. I have an iPad, I have a phone. Yeah, everything is sort of fruit flavored. Please don't put yourselves through the agony of iTunes. I only use it because I have to. I hate it with a passion. What you do, if you don't have an iPhone, okay, but you'd still like to leave us a review on iTunes, then please go to a friend who has one, okay? Or just someone you know who has an iDevice. Take the iDevice from them, go to the podcast app, search for Motoring Podcast, subscribe them, because, hey, that's always good. And make sure it's on auto-download as well. I like it when they're on auto-download. But subscribe them, and then leave the review via their account. If you could do it that way, it will just save you the agony. So yes, Simon, thanks. You're an absolute trooper. What a way to spend your Saturday afternoon.
You've definitely taken one for the team there.
Yes, if only Apple realized just what you went through to do that, we'd be number one. Never mind Gareth Jones on speed, we'd be up there at the top. But thank you, chaps and chapesses. Even if you're questioning my abilities at dinner parties, I promise I can talk about other subjects too. No, that's awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you. But please don't stop. Anyone else who's thinking about leaving a review, considering it, whatever else, please, it is the best way you can help any podcasters, ourselves, the chaps over at Smooth Traffic, all of this lot, too, if you've been listening to them. Or Gareth Jones on Speed, even, who another great British motoring podcaster. Right, enough of the narcissism. I should only use clever words when I can pronounce them, and today I can't pronounce them. Andrew, let's head on into the news.
Yes, and we might as well start with Dieselgate.
Whee!
Quick one. No, well, actually, this is quite a bit of news, Dieselgate-wise. Volkswagen's boss in America, Michael Horn, has left the company, or is leaving the company. To pursue other opportunities is the official statement. No, it is immediate effect, so yes, he's gone. Now, in the wake of this, there's been lots of articles produced with a source says, a report declares, etc., which is all it's all the stuff that we don't like to discuss, as in it's hearsay, it's there's no real facts behind it, but the general vibe behind them all is that he was really liked by the US franchise dealers.
Yeah.
And now he's gone, they aren't very happy about that, and they are waiting to discuss it with management coming over from Germany to meet up with them soon.
And they don't get on very well. The dealers are not great fans of the German management. One of those, for us Europeans, okay, this seems a bit weird, but in America, over here we have the image of this of Volkswagen. It's a very safe brand to buy. It's a very reliable brand to buy, and you can't go wrong choosing a Volkswagen. In the US, it's slightly different, particularly where the diesels were concerned. It was a somewhat left field choice. As well as that, the cars are seen as electrically dubious very often. And we've got to remember that the model range sold there is not the same as the model range sold over here. I'm going to be brave enough to say most Volkswagen sold in the US are actually sourced from Mexico. Okay, and they have specifically US models now for the US, North American models.
One of the apparent complaints is there's not enough SUVs.
Yeah. Yeah, they sell the Touareg over there. They sell the Tiguan over there, but really that is their full SUV offering, and they're either very large engines and sort of unusual by North American standards, or they're diesels. Not the Tiguan. It's not. It's sold with a Golf GTI engine, detuned Golf GTI engine, I believe. So I've got a few friends in the US who have Volkswagens, including Bruce that we talked about last week, actually. He doesn't anymore, but he did. So it's a very different view of Volkswagen, that the dealers and that the general public seem to actually have compared to over here in Europe. I'll stop warbling. Yeah. I kind of tailed off into nothing. I'm not quite sure where it was going, but it was going somewhere.
Let's move on.
Moving on, very quickly, Top Gear have been in the news. Is that enough, do you think? Yeah, let's not move into hearsay. All these things, we have no idea of context about just what they're up to.
And nor in does Whitehall. Anyone else.
Yes, exactly. And nor does anyone else. We're only mentioning it really for completeness. Let's see what happens. We don't really know what's coming out. I imagine that someone somewhere within Whitehall Council signed some stuff off and said that things were possible and let it go at that. I'm not sure. Other than that, who can tell? So we'll find out whenever the series starts, I'm sure, and things will happen and we'll see what's going on. But up until then,
let's professional outragers be professionally outraged and leave.
Lots of people. Lots of people being fantastically outraged. I was with a number of ex-military folk today, actually, and it was on the in the breakout room. There was BBC News was on in the background, and the general consensus was, yeah, let's see, who can tell, really. And that was amongst people who know far more about these kind of things and about the sort of respect for military personnel killed in previous wars, etc., 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 than many of the commenters, I think. Yes. So, shall we move on to something happier and something far, far removed from Top Gear, I think?
Yes. Jeep.
Yes.
Jeep and Mopar unveil 7 concept vehicles. Mm-hmm. And this is all in the celebration of the 50th annual Easter Jeep Safari, which will be through the Mojave Desert.
Yes, it happens around Moab in Utah, in that kind of part.
Yeah,
and they have this big celebration each year, actually, and they normally produce a concept or two, which they actually take out onto the trail. I believe I've seen from video in the past, but this year they've done 7.
They look awesome. All of
I think yeah, they do. They are universally cool. We were chatting and having a quick look through them beforehand. There are some absolute crackers based across the whole range, really, aren't there?
Yes. There will be links in the show notes. Please go and have a look, because I'll be linking to the pictures as well. It's wonderful. Mm. Just to name them, though, we're going to have...
You don't even need to see them. You don't even need to see them, guys.
No, you don't. You can imagine. Just basically think of a Tonka toy and think a little bit madder than that, and you'll be there. So the first in the list is the Crew Chief 715, which is a nod back to Jeep military vehicles. Then they've got a Shortcut, which is...
it's like Essence of Jeep. Sorry, yes. I just think it's awesome.
CJ5 that they've shrunk slightly in length. Renegade Commander, the Comanche, the FC-150, the Trail Cat, and the Trail Storm. Now if I go to the look at the pictures.
So, do you want to choose your favourite?
Okay, my favourite of the lot, and this was a hard decision, very hard decision, actually. But is the Crew Chief 715.
Is it really? That's not the one I thought you were going to choose. It is really cool.
What did you think I was going to choose?
I thought you were going to choose the FC-150.
That's
the forward control one it's got a wheel on the side. Oh, it's so cute.
It only just... the 715 is a crew cab with a big load bay out the back. It's jacked up. It's got a soft top. And a winch on the front. Hang on, let me check. A winch on the back.
Yeah.
It's got stamped into the panels. It's got mesh on the side bits of the load bay. It's got gas tanks in the back. It's just brilliant.
It's so cool.
It would crush everyone's Audi Q5s and 3s near me on the school run.
Genius. It would terrorize your high street, and for all the right reasons. Really cool.
So go on then, what's your favourite?
I'm split, actually. I really like the shortcut, which is it's a kind of, I think it's slightly shortened.
It's only a two-seater Wrangler.
Yeah. It's got sort of simple tubular roll bars over the back. The seats are vinyl with checkered sort of plaid cloth in the middle. No headrest or anything. It's got solid wheels. Minimal bumpers front and rear.
Screams 70s, doesn't it?
It really does. It has a little bit of the... It's bright red as well, by the
solid
way.
Solid red wheel.
But other than that, it has a little bit of... The Jeeps that we saw on TV when we were much younger, so there's a little bit of the whole Mork and Mindy thing going on there. There's a little bit of...
My mum had one of them.
Really?
When we lived in America, yep.
Gee, I don't know how I can follow that. You completely put me off now.
Sorry.
And the trying to imagine a little Andrew in the back of a Jeep. Actually,
My dad built a frame and raised the back seat up, so me and my brother could sit in that, and they could put all our luggage underneath, and we could go away for weekends and stuff up into the Rockies.
On a slightly related thing, have you seen the video on Petrolicious with the Jeep, the old Jeep with the old
FJ3
or something, and the matching caravan? Please, can you put a link in the show notes to that? Because that's so, it's so pretty, it's so lovely. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like that shortcut. The other one I liked was the Renegade base pickup. The Comanche
awesome.
Concept.
Awesome. That it's really
it's a Renegade, but they've kind of cut it off behind the front doors, and they've put a sort of proper flare side rugged load bay on the back, but with the Renegade lights with that cross in them or on the back, and it's got a little sort of a little soft top. So a little.
No, it's not a soft top. It's wearing a cap.
It is. It's like a bonnet. Okay, it's wearing a bonnet.
That does look cool. That does.
And it looks
that
cool as well. It's kind of sandwich. That could work.
Because
over
that's not going to be that big, is it? It's not like one of the massive American pickup things that they like over there. It's not that big. So that would work over here well.
That would work. If that had a solid top on it on the front, that I can see that sailing right across Europe. It's lovely. And you know, with the little diesel engines and stuff, then that would, I don't, please make it. It's really, really sweet. Really looks good. So yeah, have a little look at the pictures. That'll be up on the site, probably in the show notes under the episodes section. Really cute stuff. But following on from that, the leader of the FCA world, Mr. Marchioni, whose name I still can't quite pronounce, he's been saying some things. This was from last week, actually. He's been saying some stuff. He's saying that he has seen the, according to this report, he's seen the auto industry's future, and he's just not interested in it, which is a slightly alarming statement. From relating to the head of, one of the world's leading vehicle manufacturers, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, it's a bit of a sensationalist headline.
It is a bit clickbaity. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. But basically. It's just saying that he's sort of heading to a slightly funny place. He is saying some things which are reasonable and sensible in there. I mean, people are commenting on the lack of basically people are commenting on the lack of electric vehicle or hybrid vehicle thinking coming out of FCA and how a lot of their current strategy seems to rely on Jeeps. And I know that we've just been sitting here waxing lyrical because we think they're really, really cool. But it seems to be relying on Jeep, on Ram, and all these things, whilst sort of ignoring and pushing aside, certainly in North America, the smaller, more economical end of the car range. I was looking at a couple of paragraphs down and got distracted there. But yeah, so the end of the basically ignoring the small cars, they're freezing the small car manufacturer, the normal sort of saloon manufacturer, and really focusing on off-roaders and pickup trucks.
They're focusing on the stuff that makes them money.
Yes,
it's making them a profit
in the shorter term.
Because the comment is, it's a very short term strategy. Bearing in mind, he retires in 2018 as well. So some people's thinking is, well, that's all right. That's all well and good for him. He's going to retire, and then he's stuffed it for whoever comes in next. But part another perspective on this is that he's actually seen that trying to compete in this new market, in the way that the motoring world will be going, which is towards ever stricter emission regulations, which and fuel economy, which will then mean that we can only have hybrid and, in terms, alternative fuel vehicles. That means there'll be less moving parts. They'll be easier to manufacture because there'll be more of a modular thing, and people can become specialist in producing the power plant, for a better term, or the driving system. And then sell the drive system to FCA and say, right, you can stick that in your vehicle. And then all that is different is the shell on the outside and, you know, what bits of bling you stick on the inside where people sit.
Mm-hmm. And I think I said a little bit about that, about how, you know, people don't really care about who makes the electric motor in electric cars, you know, because all the characteristics come from the software around it. So basically he's claiming he's trying to sort of either get around those, but the whole strategy is so at odds with the rest of the automotive world. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And I'd be interested, and personally, I'm slightly interested to know just what his remuneration package is when he retires in 2018. And the way that leads, because it might well be it's share price related, and he's doing whatever he can to raise the share price. But it's a very interesting article, actually. It's a very interesting article, and it's a bit more detailed than we can really go into.
And it just makes me worried for Fiat Alfa.
Maserati, once again. I was hoping we'd get through this whole thing without getting worried about Alfa Romeo. I was trying not to mention that after last week.
But
should we move
links
on?
In the show
Let's move
notes
on to
anyway.
More fun stuff.
Right, yes, definitely more fun stuff.
Yes.
Ariel, they of the Atom and Nomad. Mm-hmm. They have been working with Honda using the power plants for 16 years, I think.
Yeah, something like
that. And they're going to continue. So they're going to be using the Type R engine.
Mm-hmm.
Which means
even crazier, faster aerials.
Yeah, because they weren't crazy. No.
I was saying to Andrew before the show that I had actually driven an aerial Atom, very, very carefully, because at one of these kind of it was a present, basically. You get to drive an Atom. And basically, I spent my time driving it very, very gently and very, very smoothly, because I didn't want to be the idiot that spun off in front of the Lamborghinis and Audi R8s and stuff that were also lapping the track with me. It's a fun thing to drive, actually. It's hilarious. I, I, I'd love some more time to get used to it and scare myself properly.
But I fancy going that Nomad.
Oh, yeah.
That looks ridiculously bonkers.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Just going out for a pint of milk, love.
Yes, I'll be back in an hour.
You've been 3 weeks. Yes, I know. We've run out everywhere I've been.
And I'm just going to go for a shower because I've got a little bit of dirt on me at the same time. Yeah. Ah, they look hilarious. I can't wait to see one of those on the road.
Yes. That is good news. Right, moving on, Alan.
Just moving on, and more good news. Gee whiz, we're going to kill ourselves with good news tonight. Volvo V90 is now on sale. You can go out, you can order it. I believe that the configurator is also up and live. I believe the configurator is now up and live. So the V90, it starts from 34,555 and goes up to just over £44,000, and first deliveries in October. So even the entry-level Momentum model gets leather, LED headlamps, dual-zone climate, and then the further up you go, of course, the more toys you get. I don't know if you noticed, Andrew, there's a couple of things here that are worth noting. You asked me last week about the amount of space in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And if that slanty rear window cut into luggage volume. It seems that the V90 can carry 1,526 litres of luggage, including the underfloor storage. Now, you'd need to listen to Smooth Traffic to find out just how many times that would kill you.
Yes.
Yes, because they have ongoing thing. But the 5 Series BMW, 5 Series Touring, is actually 1,670 litres, and the E-Class estate is 1,855 litres. So numerically, the volume is actually a bit lower than both of those competitors. It just remains to be seen how usable it is.
Well, I saw a photograph tweeted at the weekend, and that image had a roof box on it. It was a very sleek and stylish roof box, and the whole
it was a ski roof box, but yeah, wonderful. It looked awesome.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I saw the same one.
Yeah, that's interesting that it's it'd be interesting to see
just how square
usable
that is,
sizes are, because what does that translate to in when you're throwing stuff in the back?
Yeah, quite.
So, but okay. But I mean, it's still a big hole.
It is still a big space.
I like the fact it's got a, I'm just noticing one of the pictures, it's got a panoramic sunroof.
Yes.
I like that a lot. If you are carrying little people.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good for families and groups of people. Just take that as read. Really. The other thing I've noticed, if you're carrying little people, is the sheer number of safety systems. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's all the stuff like the IntelliSafe Assist system. So it's adaptive cruise, it's got semi-autonomous pilot assist systems. They all seem to come as standard, alongside things to keep you in your lane, driver alertness detection, and warning if it thinks you're dozing off, roadside recognition linked to speed limiters.
Oh, ding, drink.
I was doing so well. It's your fault for yawning before the show.
There's no proof of that.
Only because you have... No, I have a copy as well, so there is proof, mate. running off the road, systems to stop you running off the road, autonomous emergency systems to brake if it detects pedestrians, vehicles, large animals. Just goes on, and it goes further down. There's the IntelliSafe Surround will be an option, including blind spot information, rear collision warning. cross traffic alerts. Actually, I have 2 out of 3 of those. 360-degree cameras, park assist pilots, built-in booster seats. Basically, anything you can think of that will make your life safer, this car can be specced with it.
Yeah, because, someone from Volvo, was it the head of Volvo, said by 2020...
No accidents.
Is it accidents or deaths?
Oh, I think it might have been deaths, actually.
Deaths due to a Volvo.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're in a Volvo. I can't remember what the... But it was something, you know, that's a hell of a statement when it was... Was it only last year they made that statement?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In 4.5 years, there will be... That's... You are confident in your own stuff. And they were the first company that said that if you are using our autonomous driving, if something goes wrong, it's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they are very confident in their technology and their safety systems. So, brilliant. Brilliant. Apart from, you know, I just love the look of it.
Yes, yeah. So it should be pretty cracking. Yeah.
And I may go and play for many hours on the configurator.
Yes, I'm sure you will. I think I may well do the same. I haven't had a chance yet.
Right.
Yep.
Moving on. The Fleet News Awards 2016 were announced.
Yes.
There are many fleety type awards in these awards, but the bits that we're interested in.
Sorry, can I say most
section?
Yes, okay. Yeah, I won't say what I was going to say. I'll say it in a minute.
I will do our. I will run down in our normal top 10 styling. I'll start at the small end. So the best city car was won by Hyundai with the i10. The best small car is the Peugeot 208. The best... Now, here we go. We're getting into sub-niches. The best lower-medium car was the Astra. The best upper-medium car is the Superb. How is the Superb a medium car?
It's a pretty massive car.
Is that price or I don't know.
Well, it doesn't fit as premium or executive, you see. So they've got to make up a category. Okay. Anyway, right. Sorry, keep going.
So compact SUV, well done to Mazda for their CX-3. Midsize was the Qashqai. Large SUV is the Volvo XC90. 7-seat people carrier. Oh, God. Stop making this a category,
really.
People.
Give over. You love it,
Ford
really.
S-Max. Well done to Ford. They seem to always win that one. Best premium car is the Audi A4. The executive car is the XF. Okay. What's the difference between a premium and an executive, then? Executive's the bigger one, isn't it?
Generally, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Premium is a posh Mondeo. Okay, it's a posh equivalent to a Mondeo or a Cavalier, size-wise.
Okay.
Best I can come up with.
So the Green Fleet Manufacturer of the Year has been won by Toyota. Well done to them. And the most improved Fleet Manufacturer of the Year is Hyundai. So well done to them.
Yes. It is a little bit of a celebration of the bland in there, isn't it? It's sort of, here's what you're going to see on your motorways next year.
Yeah. I mean, well done to CX-3. They're getting it acknowledged as a fleet car. And the Hyundai.
But you'll notice that this year there's a lot of stuff that keeps popping up and keeps popping up and keeps popping up that I wouldn't expect to keep popping up. It's possibly because I haven't even noticed. I have noticed. I do know because I do read an awful lot of car news every week. But stuff like the Audi A4 and the Vauxhall Astra, I don't believe I have seen many of them around.
I've seen quite a few Astras around our way, but we do have...
Oh, that's true.
We do have a Vauxhall garage in our town, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
and it looks... I think the new one looks handsome.
Yes, absolutely. Really do.
And all the press about the Audi A4 is positive. It keeps on winning, doesn't it? So it's got to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I just haven't noticed them out and about, really, which is a bit funny. I've noticed loads of Peugeot 208s recently, though, in the best small car category there. So. Yeah, cracking. So, that time of year.
Well done to people. congratulations, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Right, moving on.
Yep. We've missed out, by the way, the new company, the best new company car of the year is the BMW 3 Series, and the fleet manufacturer of the year is BMW, with the Mercedes coming in as a runner-up.
Sorry about that.
Built on their, no, they hid it away in a different section, actually.
I didn't scroll down. Okay, let's move on.
Speaking of fleets, and generally cars which sell very, very well in diesels, there was a report in Autocar during the week saying that one of these kind of center right wing think tanks, whatever they are really, and whatever they're basing it on, was saying that the excise duty for new diesel cars should be raised by up to 100. I'll take a run up at that, shall I? Saying that the vehicle excise duty for new diesel cars should be raised by up to £800 to help reduce emissions, according to this think tank called Policy Exchange. They launched a study in January as part of the response, or bandwagon jumping, to the Dieselgate scandal. And they found that a large number of diesel vehicles were breaking official emissions limits despite actually following testing processes. So, it's quite an interesting one there. Quite how they make the mental leap from that into £800 a year.
Well, they had to think of a figure that even if you paid it monthly would scare the bejesus out of you. And you
could, yeah, that's probably
I'm
about
not prepared
it.
To do that. Now, they also mentioned suggesting a scrappage scheme.
Yes. Yes, they did. Which doesn't really seem to help the environment a huge amount, given that there's a significant impact to the environment to building and creating new vehicles, despite the best efforts of manufacturers. So I'm not really sure that is instantly better for the environment.
But if you did... If they did a I concede your point about the environment will be impacted elsewhere, because there was a report over the weekend that I can't remember which government in Southeast Asia it was, but they have classed Teslas as polluting, highly polluting, because of the drain on the electricity.
Yeah. It depends where you are in the world. I mean, I see this over and over again, and people say, well, electric cars, and I'm not saying that this is what you personally are saying, by the way. Electric cars are very polluting because you've got the energy. Electricity comes from somewhere. And you go, yes, that's right. That's right. And if you're somewhere like Norway, the CO2 emissions are practically zero. And they're practically zero because almost all your energy is coming from wind and hydro. Okay, so it's practically zero. So Norway, electric car, awesome. Practically no emissions. On the other hand, if you're in certain parts of the world where coal, or particularly if it's not anthracite, bituminous coal, is being burnt in power stations, in elderly power stations, then naturally, yes, the emissions are going to be much, much higher because you're essentially using the equivalent of a very old, knackered engine to generate it. So you can't just jump on and say, well, electric cars are polluting because the electricity has to be generated somewhere. It depends what the context of that electrical generation is. If it's hydro, if it's wind, if it's nuke, which has its own particular issues surrounding it, then the actual CO2, whilst you might have fish with many legs and a fine suntan, the actual CO2 being emitted is very, very low indeed, if not zero. Whereas if you're somewhere where it's a bituminous coal that's being used, that's if it's even if it's gas, it's way lower than bituminous coal. And also the type of scrubbing fitted to your power stations does make a big difference to just how much it pollutes. So what they're saying could well be absolutely correct for their situation. Then yeah, that may well make sense. I can understand that. But just it's worth remembering that this figure is going to change everywhere. Not like the fact that you can standardize a test in one country for internal combustion CO2 emissions, and then assume it's going to be the same everywhere because your petrol is going to be pretty much the same, your diesel is going to be pretty much the same. When it comes to electrical generation, there is a huge variance in just how clean those power stations are. I shall now step back off my soapbox.
No, it's quite right to point out. I mean, we're in a country here where we have the government is reducing its support and subsidy for alternative fuels.
Hmm.
When we've got, you know, when everybody acknowledges that we are on the verge of power issues.
And, yes.
You know, so if you looked at it from an infrastructure point of view, producing and selling more things that will drain that infrastructure is not a great idea unless we are supporting the infrastructure with, you know, solar farms and all the rest, which I always struggle to understand why local people object to a solar farm, considering it's just going to be some panels just sat in a field doing nothing.
Don't ask my horrible little squit of a local MP. Sorry, that was one of his campaigning things. It was that and the reduction in wind, but he's only about 12. What the heck does he know?
Yeah. Okay, well, when your iPad and your iPhone can't be charged, we'll have another chat, will we, and when you're all hysterical about that. But
yes,
never mind. If they go down the scrappage line, that could potentially change, linking back to one of our old shows, the Krek windscreen Horde hauler. Because we have a dirty, old, filthy diesel that if we were to get $2,000 for, would change how we looked at a future car.
Yes, yeah, imagine that. Yeah.
So from that point of view, I mean, we would be, you know, a target market, definitely, on that. So, yeah, I mean, because I'm still gobsmacked that the number of parents sit with their engines turning over outside or near a school, particularly when most of them are diesels, so they can have their radio going, even though they don't realise they can have their radio going without the engine, but never mind.
Yes.
But so they can have their aircon on, or their heating, or whatever it is, instead of put a coat on, or open the window, whatever else it could be. And you just think, yeah, you know that's just creating this layer for the little people to wade through.
Yeah, it's not ideal. No. It's not ideal. But just it's also worth mentioning this: these folks at Policy Exchange, they have been somewhat contentious in the past. They've written another couple of reports over time, and I'm basing this on Wikipedia, so this may or may not be completely correct.
Are you trying to say Wikipedia is not always 100% truthful?
I'm trying to say that Wikipedia is not always 100. The information that people put on Wikipedia, despite Wikipedia's best efforts, is not always 100% truthful. So, they have been quite. They have written some quite contentious reports, some of which have been investigated by Newsnight and stuff like that. So it's just worth bearing in mind they might not be 100%. Excuse me, 100% squeaky clean either. On there, but yes, that was
hopefully
we'll
get that conversation going though.
Yes, well, they are supposedly one of David Cameron's favorite one of his favorite think tanks, which never dawned on me that you could possibly have a favorite think tank. They all seem like Apple analysts who make stuff up about Apple cars and stuff.
I have favorite tanks but not think tanks.
Yes, yes. I try not to do any thinking, to be perfectly honest. I find life much easier that way.
It shows every week, doesn't it? Yes. We do our best to prove that we don't think.
I'm sorry, are you expecting me to dispute that?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
Right. Before
one
we wrap
last
up,
great story, yes.
Okay. Now, our friend at Major Gav spotted possibly the best toy of the year. Lego have agreed they are going to make the Caterham 7 kits.
Yay.
Yes, get
I am
in.
So buying one of these.
Have you seen that if you open the engine bay?
No.
Yeah, there's a little bit of engine in there.
Oh, I so want this.
Yes.
I so want one of these.
This is brilliant. Whoever's gone on to Lego and voted for this to happen, I salute you. Well done. You have done sterling service for the rest of us here.
Mm-hmm.
That is just brilliant.
Yes, it is. It is really awesome.
And that is pretty much everyone who listens to this podcast. Christmas present sorted. Or birthday, depending on when this comes out.
Uh-huh.
But that's great. That is great news that this has happened. And they look fab, to be fair. Mm-hmm.
They do. They look really, really good. And I've always wanted a Caterham. And maybe one day I'll get a full-size one. But no, I think that one of those Lego ones will appear on the shelf just behind me.
Well, before I had little people, I'd worked out my banter for establishing how this was a viable daily driver to Mrs. Crack Windscreen.
Yes. She fairly well.
She has her own car, so you know it made it much easier for that to be a sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep trying to justify it, and then not quite. Hence the MX-5. Can I quickly add one thing in that's not in our running order?
Okay,
as you mentioned, Gav. Can I point out that the two people that we mention quite often? Gavin Bracewick Smith it's Ian Seabrook, Dolly Wobbler, who's the editor of it. They've got an edition of Retro Japanese has just come out. It's the first edition. It is really stonking. I ordered up a copy because there may or may not be some sort of Veracross love in there that maybe I answered some questions on and submitted some photos for. So that's in there. There's loads of other stuff about MX-5s. This podcast is not sponsored by Mazda. MX-5s, the history of the Honda Civic, 50 years of Honda in the UK, loads of really interesting stuff about slightly older Japanese cars. To interest everyone, I've shown it to a couple of mates, and they've both been really impressed. They've all been really impressed with it as well.
I mean, it sounded like you have two mates.
It did sound like I had two mates. That was really bad. I have more than two mates. Just like I'm perfectly good companionship at a dinner party.
You know which hand to hold the fork with.
Yeah, I do. Even know which fork to use for which thing. Which course? It's really, what I'm trying to say is it's really, really good. I'm not sure how easy it is. I ordered mine from the publisher's website. It's about £4. I'm not sure where else we can get hold of it.
I will try and get in touch with Gav and Ian Seabrook and see if I can get links and stuff so we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, because it's really cracking. It's really, really good, and it's the kind of stuff that if you listen to our drivel and you enjoy Japanese cars of all ages, then it should be it's well worth reading. Really good, and it's a good thick magazine as well. It's not just like 5 pages of toilet roll. It's proper stuff. It's really good. Dead chuffed with it.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it then, Alan.
I think that does. I think that wraps it up for this week. So, yeah, just before you go, I know I spent a couple of minutes groveling for ratings and stuff, so I'm going to repeat that again right now.
Yes, because it really does make a massive difference. If you're not in the podcasting world, you probably get bored of hearing people say this, but the how high we were moved up the charts and how visible we became to anyone who just stumbled across the automotive section of iTunes was amazing by the fact that three people and then another two people have put ratings and reviews on has made. It really does help us, and it helps to spread the word as well.
If to give you an idea of that, it takes us from the sort of mid-20s in the charts, and depending on which day of the week it is, and then it boosts us right up into the what's hot category that appears on the front page of Automotive, and that's a huge point, because we get presented to people rather than them having to go looking for us. So that really is a major marketing push. So yes, please, reviews. If you can't review from your own on iTunes from your own device, then steal someone else's. Borrow the bloke next to you on the train or the bus and say, oh, do you want to listen to some stuff about cars, because obviously you can't afford one. Let me just subscribe you to this and leave a quick rating. There you go, there's your iPhone back, and that would be absolutely fantastic. But in the meantime, in between all those reviews you're going to be writing to us, how can you get in touch with, for example, Andrew?
Oh, the best way would be via Twitter, where I am at @crackwindscreen. And if they wanted to get in touch with the show, Alan, what would be the best way?
Oh, okay, the show then, okay.
Thought I'd mix it up there.
Yeah, throwing around, just because I chucked it at you there. If you want to get the best way to get in touch with the show, absolutely, is on Twitter via @motoringpodcast. And again, one of the things that's been helping is we've been trying to make sure that is far more active than it was previously, and that seems to be being reflected in our follower numbers. So that's there. The other thing, which I'm using quite a lot at the minute, and I'm quite enjoying using because it's a good way to show some of the many hundreds of photos I've taken over the last fortnight, is on Instagram. So if you are on Instagram, we're there at Motoring Podcast there as well. That works quite well. Those are our two major media for sharing stuff. And naturally, of course, is the hub of all our activity to find out all sorts of bits and pieces. And that's at, it's not at anything, it's www.motoringpodcast.com, where you can also email us and send us stuff in longer format, should you desire.
What about if they want to get in touch with you personally?
Oh, with me personally. I knew there was something I missed out. With me, my personal Twitter is at @AJPBradley. So feel free to get in touch with me and just there, like many people have been doing whilst we've been recording the show, and commenting that really I shouldn't be driving an MX-5 for economy and showing off my fuel consumption figures.
Well done for crowbarring your MX-5 back into the show.
I've been trying to ignore all the notifications. I forgot to turn the notifications off before we started recording, and they've been pinging in the top corner of my screen. So anyway, that's us for this week. Next week, we're going to be recording a day earlier, aren't we? And it's going to be is it going to be a different format? It's probably going to be the same old format, but it's going to be very different for us on our end.
Oh, it's going to be very weird.
Yes, it's going to be very strange. The same place at the same time to record, folks. God, never know what might happen. Yeah, just
end of the world.
Yeah, just don't feed us after midnight or anything like that. So
don't get us wet.
Until next week, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.